Hey guys, it's Chad from the Puppet Parent Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about being background checked by the government, breaking down script writing a bit, slapstick versus Mr. Rogers, and mommy pandemic brain. This is the Puppet Parent Podcast. I'm Chad.
I'm Z.
And this is a little behind-the-scenes look at our lives over here in the USA.
Here we
In New York, which, by the way, there's more than just New York City. There's this whole other state, New York State, and we are on the opposite side of it right now than we usually are.
Yes, where we grew up, basically.
Yeah, way out in the country.
Our hometown.
There's a thunderstorm happening. It's a very humid day. Mm-hmm. There's only 5,000 people. We're used to being in a city of 8 million, although it's probably more like 7 million or 6 at this point, because everybody who could left.
Yeah.
Yay. Oh, good. Hey, Juana's daughters love this podcast.
Oh, that's
Yay.
So nice.
Thanks for letting
us know.
Well,
if they have any questions, ask us, because we'd be happy to answer them.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like what it's like to be a puppeteer, if we have pets, things like that. Happy to answer those questions.
Mm-hmm. And if you say anything especially flattering, I can do one of these. Dun-dun. That's
Ooh.
Right. Just throw that up there. If you're watching this, I just put that screen.
I can't wait to see that happen in real life.
I'm actually going to get rid of it. All right. So.
I'm like waiting. Like, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Oh, it's about to happen.
Oh, the lag is going to. Oh, there it is. Look. It's like we're watching ourselves in real time from 20 seconds ago. So let me tell you about this week.
Isn't that entertaining for you guys? No? What are you talking about?
This week, Z, let me tell you, I had to submit a background check and fingerprinting to the FBI, to New York State law enforcement for the very first time.
For puppets?
Not the very first time, actually. It wasn't the first time. Second or third time. Yes, for puppetry. So,
for puppetry, people.
Yeah, so,
for puppetry.
Well, when you work with kids in this country, you have to submit yourself to a background check, and that includes fingerprinting. Mm-hmm. But we had kind of avoided it for years. I mean, not that we don't think it's a good idea. It's a really good idea. But unless, because we're so busy being parents, being puppeteers, performing all the time, unless we have to do it, we kind of just pushed it down the road a little bit. We kicked that can down the road until finally this year we're working with a great company that's like, great, so we're starting next week, and give me your background check receipt, please.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we're like, hold on one second. Let me get those for you.
Let me see where in this farm country we might be able to do
that. So I had to drive 30 minutes north to a place that is like a machine. This place is like an assembly line for people just exactly like me, got to work in schools. And so you just go in, great, here's your appointment, boom, walk into the back, meow, 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 done. Here's your receipt, throw you out the door, next person comes in. Because they're doing, like, I gotta be hundreds of these every single day. It was fascinating. It used to be that when I worked in corrections, they teach you how to get fingerprinted.
Right, it's like from one side of the finger to the other,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if you're watching this on live on Facebook or YouTube, you have to stick your, take your finger, so you at home, take your finger, your index finger, point it straight out onto like a table, right, or a piece of paper. I'm just going to do it right here. So you can't just do like straight down like a fingerprint. No, you got to tilt your finger to an awkward angle, stick it down, and then roll your finger, keeping pressure to the other side, and lift up. And that's how you take a regular ink fingerprint. But this is like new age fingerprint with digital technology. And like now I'm in an actual database.
Wait, is it like the iPhone where you keep touching and you keep moving your thumb around until it like gives you a smiley face or something?
Kind of. No, it was more just like the woman who does like 1,000 of these every single day was just like, okay, now give me your finger. Okay, now, yeah. And just yanking it over here. Like, yeah, blah, just like throwing it around. I'm like, all right,
did
all
she
right.
Did she call okay. you honey?
No, thankfully, no. But she was.
Everyone out here calls me honey.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
It's really sweet. I'm not used to it.
Everyone calls you honey, and it's not a non-derogatory
honey.
Way.
No, it's they're being kind. Wow. If anything, I'm used to in New York City, like, in a more Hispanic district, they'll say, all right, mommy. Okay, yeah. Mommy. And I'll be like, okay, it's cool. Out here, it's like, all right, honey. You know?
Wow, I don't get any honeys. I don't get anything.
You should pay attention although the next time we're together and I check out.
I get way more head nods, though. Like, anytime you're within 100 feet of a man, if you're another man, you gotta, and you're nothing to do with each other, nothing at all. You could just ignore each other like we do in New York City. That's the rule. Instead, you look at each other straight in the eye and you go, mm-hmm. And then you keep walking. Like, there's some kind of, like, we don't know each other. I would never see this person ever again. Eye contact. Confirming nod. Mm-hmm. And then we keep going.
I remember being at Fredonia and people who lived in New York City commenting on the eye contact thing and how it freaked them out.
Yes.
And I was like, why wouldn't you make eye contact with people?
I remember that too. A friend of mine from the BSU was just like, why do people keep saying hello to me? I'm just trying to go to get my lunch. Don't say hi. I don't know you. Don't say hello to me, please.
The BSU is the Black Student Union that was on campus.
No, my friend, whose name was Tyrone, had these really long, really thick fingernails, long, luscious hair. Yeah, we were buds, and he commented that we were almost roommates. The computer threw us together. We met because we were going to be roommates, and then computer separated us.
Aw, computer.
Yeah, but that was actually better because then we didn't have to live with each other. We could just be like occasional friends
and
say hi to each other. At lunchtime, usually. Right. Yeah. So anyway, it's almost like a pregnancy scan, you know, where they use this weird device to capture you, where it's like I'm watching the fingerprinting scan happen in real time, where you see each one of your grooves appear because I'm on. It's like you're sticking your finger on glass, and it's appearing on a computer screen in real time. So she's like moving my fingers around, trying to get it right, and you're watching it happen.
Was she wearing gloves?
Yes, a mask. And I was wearing a mask, too.
And was she behind a piece of plexiglass?
Oh, no.
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 I'm just trying to envision what, like, something like this looks in today's world,
It was just a cubicle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say. So we just, the entrance, because it was in a strip mall, which means a bunch of businesses all in the same building. It was just slightly separated. Mm-hmm. It was a white woman with dreadlocks, which you don't see anymore. And she had dyed her hair pitch black.
Ooh.
And each one of the dreads had like a Roman numeral on it. And I was
there's a lot of bold choices happening. I love it.
Awesome. And she was like my age, like slightly older. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, yeah. This woman was super cool. She's still super cool.
I had dreadlocks when Chad and I were dating a long, long, long time ago.
Yes. Let me tell you, it was awesome.
It was messy, though.
This hair is not
meant to be dreadlocked. I mean, I thought it was really cool, but I do not have any curl in my hair whatsoever. Any wave that's happening right now is because I had it in a braid for like 3 days. But it really should... It's not meant to be in a knot. It just isn't. And I tried so hard. I was so committed to it. But it actually, I'm very lazy about my personal appearance. So it was actually the worst hairstyle for me because it required so much work.
Yes.
The dreadlocks did. So, but I did have like pieces of grapevine like twisted in from like from the vineyards close to Fredonia and some beads and stuff.
It was very attractive. So I just want to say that. I'm sad. Well, all right, so part of me is sad that the white chicks can't have dreadlocks anymore because there was this conversation happening at least a couple years ago saying that dreadlocks were cultural appropriation and you can't do it. Don't do it anymore. And a lot of people push back and we're having a conversation and finding our way through that, right? But it's a personal choice. Mm-hmm. It's not like the dreadlocks are not the Confederate flag of the hair world, I think. I want to hope that. But I'm not sure. And I feel like it's not my place to dictate to anybody what their hairstyle should be. But it's their own personal choice.
Absolutely. I still wish that my hair could do that and have it not take forever every single day, because I think it is so cool. I love that look, and I mean, I told you the other day when I was growing up, I would watch Sesame Street. And I just so wish to be one of those little black girls that were living in New York City and playing hopscotch and hand clap games on the street. Like I was, and I named my first car Keisha because of Bill Cosby, the Cosby Show. the little actors. Rudy. Mm-hmm. Her real name in real life is Keisha, and I just thought she was awesome, and she was my age, so I don't know, blah blah blah. I think in my head I've always just been like, oh man, you know, because it just was like a different life. It was a totally different life than the life that I had. And yeah. And then when I moved to New York City, I didn't even realize that Sesame Street was emulative of New York City until I suddenly saw all these brownstones and like realized like, wait, the 1-2-3 Steps is a brownstone. Like that's New York City. So anyway, full circle.
Yeah.
So you got your fingerprints done.
Yes, that's true. Now, when I moved to the city and we began to be, it was like a lot of culture shock coming from this, where we're broadcasting right now, 5,000 people, mostly white, homogenous, and New York City was scary. Like that was what we thought of, at least like in the 80s or 90s, like adults who talk about that, kids who talk about like New York City's scary. They're different from us, you know, like who would want to live there? But then you go there once. Everybody has to go to New York City once. You got to see the sights. But the first time that we performed in an all-black church in like the center, and probably like Brownsville.
Was that the Jack and the Beanstalk show?
Yes.
Oh, I loved that one.
And our parents did like a ride-along. My parents did a ride-along where I was driving there and I was realizing... And I told them, I was like, oh, by the way, this is probably going to be like, we're probably going to be the only white people there. Yeah, here we go. And I never in a million years would have thought, would have known anything surrounding the different cultures and different people that live in this same state with us, because we're just so wildly different. Even it's just like different communities, different sides of the state.
Yeah, different circles of like who you hang out with, what you do, and... you know, I have to say that when Father's Day rolled around this year, I don't think of Father's... I mean, Chad is a wonderful father and everything, but when I think of Father's Day now, I think of Brownsville, because we're always performing in Brownsville, yes. Brooklyn on Father's Day as part of their street fair celebration to honor the dads in Brownsville. And when we didn't perform this year on Father's Day, I really thought of the community in Brownsville, because... it's a trek for us to go out there. So we don't go and hang out there like on a regular.
No, I mean, it's not our neighborhood.
It's over an hour drive for us to get out there. But what's so fun is that about two times a year, sometimes three, our kids go with us to these street fairs that happen in Brownsville, and one always
Hold on. It's not a street fair. It's a block party.
It is. You're right. It is. Thank you for putting me in my place there.
No. I just want to tell people. No. It's not like what you would think of as a street fair, right? It's what you should think of as a block party.
It is. It's a block party, but on Main Street. It's not on a residential street. Yes. It's on Pitkin Avenue. And so... on Father's Day, typically it's hot that day and the hydrants are open. They have like inflatable pools set out on a tarp. And my kids and the Brownsville kids like are just splashing each other and playing. And there's a photo booth that they have for everybody. And they're say to all the men who are on the street that day, Happy Father's Day, Happy Father's Day to everybody, giving them like tags that say like, you're an amazing dad. And I just, when Father's Day came and went, and I don't think we acknowledged it in the podcast because there's so much happening, but I was definitely like having moments throughout the day of thinking of the Brownsville community and wishing that we could be there for that day, because it's really become a part of like, our family history too of celebrating Father's Day in Brownsville. Mm-hmm. And so I really hope that next year that we get to do that outdoor festival again with the Brownsville community and party.
I mean, we weren't there this year, but I'm guessing that they didn't do it. I'm hoping that
I don't think they
can. I'm pretty sure they canceled it.
Yeah.
It's like the Pitkin Avenue business conglomerate that gets together and pulls the money and stuff for it. But it's such an iconic city thing, you know, to have like a huge block party and everyone's invited. And if you want to get a bathroom, we didn't have the money to rent a porta potty, so you got to go into the department store.
Oh yeah, that's right. Back. That's right. The local department store that's like the 5 and 10, you know, like the dollar store, but everything's more than a dollar. That store had the bathroom available for anybody at the block party who wanted to use it. And then if you were working the block party in any capacity, they had a barbecue happening. If you kept going through the employees section into the tiny little backyard area, and that was always so awesome. They made the best food. Oh, so good. I love that block party.
We'll
so
go.
Much.
We'll go. You know,
yeah. As soon even as, if you're not performing, we should go. We should go.
That's what I would like. It's just to go, because performing at a block party is super hard. Not just because usually it's like a puppet booth. Performing anywhere is hard because the wind is our enemy. And usually at a block party, there's a stage or a performance area where they're doing like DJ sets and like local talent singing, or local celebrity boy returns home or something like that, you know, or like Zumba.
Or an amazing like basketball player has come back to like do a lesson, something like
that. And give out some stuff to the kids, you know, or a magician, local magician. So when we go out there, it's like everything is against us in terms of the setup. Usually at this particular one, there's a stage, so it's like a 10-foot stage, and we have to go right in the middle. And we bring weights, but if there's wind, there's nothing around us to save us from the wind.
That particular street tends to be quite windy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the end of the world wind. Like, we've tried to set up in places where it was so windy, we couldn't even set up the stage because the wind was just like, nah. And just blowing it over.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Even like, we couldn't even put the fabric on the Velcro, on the poles. It was that windy. So
the Tribeca Kids Festival, that is like literally a wind tunnel when we would perform at that festival.
Yes.
Always, no matter where they put us. There's because it's only like a 3 or 4 block area that the festival happens. And it just felt like no matter where you put us every year, it's just like... you know,
well, we're like a few blocks away from the river at that point, you know, and if it's a windy day, the wind just goes right between the buildings and just nails us. But even at that festival, we could figure out places where we go, you know, right up against a building or in a gazebo or someplace where the wind isn't so bad. At a block party, you're just on the pavement or you're on a stage and there's nothing, because that's where you need to go. That's where it has set up. So I'm worried the whole time. I'm like, I have two puppets on my hands and I'm holding them up and I'm doing the show. And the whole time in the back of my brain is this voice that's like, the wind is coming. Ah! and just like, I'm so worried. And every once in a while too, be like doing the show and all of a sudden the wind would just boom and hit the stage and I'd grab, the puppets would just stop what they're doing, just grab the puppet stage, you know, hold on to the playboard like, until the wind like receded. And then... okay, all right, that was crazy. Let's keep going.
There was one summer, I don't remember which festival it was, where the wind was so bad. We had put weights, we had put sandbags down, and it was me and a sound guy holding the stage down while Chad performed, too.
Oh, no. Well,
was that Tribeca as well? It might have been.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I think that was the second year.
We learned things.
Yeah, we had a sound person. We didn't really need one, but there was one there. But man, he came in handy because, I think it was 10 minutes in, the wind picked up the stage and a sound guy jumped on stage and grabbed the pole and held it down and looked at us and gave us that confirming nod.
Mm-hmm. Got you. I got you.
Yeah, and still we were getting blown away, but we managed to end the, you know, go through the whole show. But man, a man had to sit on stage holding it down for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, he was there for us. He was awesome. There for us. Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Bruce Cannon, who's watching. Hi, Bruce.
Oh, hey, Bruce.
Bruce is the artistic director for the Swedish Cottage Marionette Theater. He's an amazing puppeteer himself. He does marionettes mostly. And we love Bruce. And he's on the board of the Jim Henson Foundation, which, by the way, I always want to make sure I mention that I work for the Jim Henson Foundation in addition to being co-artistic director of Wonderspark Puppets. And Cheryl Henson is the president of the Jim Henson Foundation. And and we are always so grateful to Cheryl Henson for everything that she does for puppetry and for all puppeteers in the United States, and her influence in puppetry just in general. She's awesome.
That's right. That's right, Julie. Not all heroes wear capes.
But sound man.
Sound people, tech people, you know, somebody wearing all black and they're involved somehow. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And you can't run a festival or anything without like a huge amount of help. Yeah. So thank you very much to all the tech people out there. All the furloughed tech people, because theaters aren't coming back in a big capacity, at least till January.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see on everything, right? So
hard to say.
This past week, we, for the very first time, are working with a company streaming 30-minute sessions to 40-minute sessions online as part of like a schooling program.
So how many sessions a day?
5 to 7.
And how many days a week?
5 days a week.
And that's a lot.
That's a lot.
So are you doing all of those?
Well, thank you. That's an excellent question, Z.
Sometimes my documentary interview person.
Why? No, actually.
Let
no.
me lead you to the answers. Yes.
No way. No. And any. I'm not a teacher. I don't wish to be a teacher. And teachers have it so rough. And they work so hard.
You're good at leading workshops.
Thanks.
You're a good workshop leader.
I can be a teacher, but I'm not a teacher, if that makes sense.
You can teach puppetry.
Yeah. But so this is like me doing a show and then doing a little bit of like learning, like some, it's like watching the video or discussing and doing some movement with like 3 to 5 year olds.
He's teaching.
I know, but I'm not, but teachers who have to do like a 9 to 5 plus like curriculum stuff, plus buying their own supplies are like, you know, America's unsung, totally trodden on heroes.
Well, we appreciate you so much.
Yes.
We appreciate and respect what you do so much.
Yeah,
and
we are singing your praises.
Yes, and we are part of the summer programming that this after-school program has put together. And, you know, also, if you know any teachers that are putting together their online content for for the fall, which is going to be here in like a month and a half, have them contact us, because we would love to be thought of as something that maybe your class could be a part of in some way. Like maybe we could do a show that works with what you're teaching, or we could do a workshop that deals with like, you know, a West African animal, because you're talking about West Africa that week or something. I don't know.
Yeah. But, so, and we have a lot of free content that's already online that you can just use.
Because
school's budgets got slashed. No surprise there.
All of this is crazy, and we just want everybody to be okay. You know, we're doing our best to offer things and what we have to people. You know, we're not doctors. We can't save people, but we might be able to make you happy or give your kids like 30 minutes of joy. And so that's what we're able to offer during this time. And as this time continues, we will continue to offer that. Even if New York State gets better, you know, there's going to be other parts of the country that aren't there yet. And we're thinking about you, and, you know, tune in and watch, and we're going to keep offering things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thanks to all our supporters who've been supporting us through this, because it's just been crazy times.
Yeah.
So.
And you should know that when you send us like a very meaningful, inspirational quote, we totally print them out and we put them around our desks.
Yes,
and
right over there, actually.
They give us inspiration and heart and joy. And it gives us like, you know, the go to keep going. So, what were you going to say?
So.
Yes, Chad. How many times a week are you performing?
A bunch.
Yeah.
A bunch.
Does that feel good, though?
It's exciting and also hard. It's like a different kind of hard, because my mom is a kindergarten teacher, and she's super crafty, and I'd volunteered in her classroom many times for years, but I never chose that life. You know, even my brother, who did 3.5 semesters of getting his teaching degree, like decided, nope, and like skedaddled out of there. Because both of us were just like, maybe it was like, you know, the teenage rebellion, just like, my mom's a teacher, I don't want to be a teacher. But now that I'm teaching, I'm like, oh, okay, I could do this. You know, like, I'm not saying that it's easy at all or that I want to continue it, because most of it is this weekly work is being handled by the rest of our team, our amazing performing partners, so that while we're here in this residency, we can keep doing the things we're doing. including working on, like, I'm just making storyboards for this new show and writing an outline to a script, which is like, today was like, all right, it's always like yesterday, like, okay, I got it, I nailed it, here it is, the outline, boom. And then you think about it for a day and you're like, you know what? I don't think this is meeting exactly the needs that I need, so why don't I try this instead? And I'm at a part where I'm finally tweaking it instead of feeling like, what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I never get out of the what am I gonna do part. So this is why he writes the scripts and I build things. because if I'm just given the things and told get from point A to point B, I can do that and somebody should just record it and then like write down all those words. But if I have to sit in front of a screen and then think about all the things I'm gonna say, I'm not gonna do it. It's like, that is so hard for me. It's so hard. It's just very uncomfortable.
I learned, you know what, something that I learned on the internet is that some people actually don't have an inner monologue.
Mm.
Yeah, and I was like, what? Seriously? People don't have like the voice in their head? You know, like you don't think about conversations in your head with like different people, or you don't like have like a voice in your head like telling you to do, you know, like the things that you do, or like right before you say something, you know, you have like an inkling of an idea about what you're going to say.
I think sometimes my inner monologue could be louder so that it doesn't come out of my mouth as much. Mm. I think that propensity, is that the word, right word?
Okay.
Of being a bit of an entertainer sometimes gets me into trouble. I like to make people laugh and smile. And especially if things feel uncomfortable, I want to switch that, make it a little bit more light. And I think maybe I need to listen more and not talk as much.
I think that's good advice for anybody out there.
Yeah.
I was just listening to that feeling like, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is why we get along.
Yeah, this is true. But no, I had this, I was reading people talking about how they have no voice inside their head, no inner monologue.
That's so interesting.
And then
how do they reason things to themselves?
I don't know.
Are they okay?
You can read. Yeah. No, okay. It's like regular people. They're not crazy or anything. No, it's just like, it's just different. Just a different way of thinking, or they just don't have like a voice in their head. So I raised the question, do all great writers have inner monologues? Because you can envision different characters speaking and what they're going to say or what they could say, because that's how I reason it out. I'm not calling myself a great writer. I'm not. But that's how I do it when I write scripts, is like, I think of a character, or I think of an archetype, or, you know, that they're all view. It's different facets. And then they have a conversation, you know, and you kind of like, you're like, okay. And then you kind of like bang it out of the script that way. But can you do that if you don't have any inner voices? I don't know. So I'm very interested.
But you know, for me, that's not how my brain works as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it used to when I was younger, but now I don't know what happened. I get older and it's more this way of like things just come out.
Yeah.
Like and it's not that I'm an improvisational person, but there's just a flow to like how I think somebody would respond, but it's a lot easier for me to act it out than it is for me to like think about it in my head and write it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's about, but I mean, it would be easier to be able to write it out, because then you don't have to have all the stuff in order to like figure out what it is you're trying to say.
You know what helped me was, I mean, this is going to sound like duh, but what really helped me was English comp.
Oh, at college?
Yeah. And in English comp, I learned that, actually, you don't have to think super hard about what you're going to write, as long as you know the outline of what you're supposed to write. So that means to say, like, each sentence is like a microcosm of, like, the outline of a sentence is a microcosm of the outline of your entire paper.
Oh, sure. Every essay I've ever written is that.
Beginning, middle, and end. The first part supports the last part. You know, every sentence, every paragraph, every page is like that. And it's the same thing with a script, too. Yeah, you got to jump over that gap. So if you think about it like, okay, I know that I need, so if you're writing a paragraph, I know that the first sentence has to, and the last sentence have to be kind of the same thing. They support each other. And in the middle, you kind of prove that, right? That's like a paragraph about anything, about like where you're going. And then you can, and then you say, so that the first paragraph and then the last paragraph in this chapter or page or whatever support each other. They're kind of the same thing. And then all the middle paragraphs prove that, right? And then you can say, okay, this scene, the first scene and the last scene, you know, kind of say the same thing thematically. And then in the middle, you kind of prove all that, you know. So it, for me, it really helps to know, like, okay, there is an outline and all I have to do is fill it in. I'm not saying that the show needs to be formulaic in that way, because it shouldn't be. But as long as you, as long as I can like visualize each scene as just like a bunch of empty comic book blocks, you know, and be like, all right, this is what I'm trying to say with this character. This is what I'm trying to say with this character. Mm-hmm. How can I get from point A to point B and be entertaining, but like have these things be thematically, you know, helping each other.
Mm-hmm. Bleh. This is why Chad writes the scripts. And then I like to say that I add the funny. Mm-hmm. So, because then he shows the script, like we start to do the script, and then I say, you know what would be funny is if we did this, or that would be funny, or can we add this moment? So I do that. That's my little wand waving.
Thanks. Yeah. And you reel me back a little bit too.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel, and you need somebody in your life that's going to be like, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. or like, nah, you know, it's just not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As hard as that is to hear sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. It is an interesting challenge being the creative partner to your partner. But I think that it's also, you know, at the end of the day, made us really closer because we're able to have those big discussions sometimes about art instead of about like our relationship. no, but it's true. You know, like, you know, you always say no to all my ideas. Like that discussion has happened before.
Both ways.
Yes.
Both ways.
And but not as much about us as it is about the art. So right. That's
well,
interesting
let's,
too.
Well, let's talk about our dynamic for a second. We've talked about it many times. This is just retreading for your entertainment.
What is our dynamic, Chad?
So our dynamic lately,
I'm so excited to
lately,
hear. What is it?
We
lately?
Talked about this.
Okay,
has been like okay, we both bring different things to the table, different mm-hmm. wants. We both bigger picture. We both want the same thing, which is like to like. Enlightened and be kind and do all these great things for kids so they can be better people, so we can mm-hmm. change the world, all the things that everybody wants to do.
Be helpers.
But how we get there is different, where I'm more slapstick and you're more Mr. Rogers. If I was to boil down the essence of what we bring to the table creatively, would you say that is accurate?
I love slapstick, but what I don't like is too many, like, jokes that have to do with, like, body sounds and stuff. I think one or two is okay, mm-hmm. but not too many. That's where I kind of sometimes bring Chad back, is how can we be funny without making that sound right now? You know, how can we be funny in a different way? I do like a little bit more of a sweeter show, or I think every show should have a heartwarming moment. Mm-hmm. If it's a show that's like a lesson show, and most of our shows are lesson shows where there's some kind of moral or something that comes out of it. I don't know, but I do like funny things, and like, you know, my most successful works, that I've made for my own, self have been funny,
mm-hmm.
funny. So, and actually I've been working on a piece. Before the pandemic, I was working on it more, and now it's really on hold until life slows down a little bit. It's funny. You would think, oh, you must have all this time because of the pandemic to work on this art. And it's like, no, actually, I have zero time. Like, it's comparable to, like, when the kids were born, and we've said this before. Like, there's just no time. Time's weird. And even being out here, I do have a little bit more focused personal time, but that just means that I caught up on my jobs, you know? Like, I don't think anybody is, like, really upset at me right now for not getting something done. I might have forgotten to do something. I do my best, you know, but you everybody is always trying to do their best. But what I'm trying to say is that there's not a lot of time right now to have not only time to create art for myself that would be like really meaningful and like go to a deeper place within myself, but then also like I don't think I have the mental capacity to be going into that place because I am just exhausted. Like I'm just spent a lot of the time, you know.
And she cooks. She makes dinner.
Not all the time.
She made banana bread this morning.
Vanessa agrees with me. She said parents have less time now more than ever. Yeah. And I agree. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason. Well, one of the reasons people want kids back in school is like so they can have their time back, their work back, or, you know, their lives back and stuff like that. But it's like, but it's just not safe.
Well, today was a good day. And you know what we got for the kids finally? I've been eyeing it for a long time. I want to share with everybody the new thing that we got for our kids. Our kids are ages 5 and 7. One's going into kindergarten, the other's going into second grade. Boys, both of the boys happen to be very physical. One has a very, very good sense of balance. And I've been wanting to get them a slack line for a really long time. And for those of you who don't know what a slack line is, it's like a tight rope, but it's like a thick nylon band that's like wide enough for you to be able to really comfortably walk on in bare feet, and you attach it to two trees, and you tighten it up with like a ratchet that you would find on like a semi truck to hold logs down or something. You know, they clink those things in. So it's like basically one of those ratchet ties with like thick nylon webbing that is attached to two trees, and you tighten it until you can walk on it. But when you walk on it, there's still some bounce because it's not like a tightrope. It's something else. It's similar to a tightrope. And then you have another line that goes above it that you can hold on to for balance. Well, it's been up for a little over 24 hours, and our kids love it. They love it. It was a win. I'm so happy. I'm so happy because sometimes like it wasn't super cheap. Like I've been looking at it for a few years now, and then I put it in the cart like a month ago and I'm still looking at it, and then I was like, ah, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to get it.
And what's it called?
It's a slack line.
Slack line. Slack line. Which one did we go with?
Oh, Trailblaze. Trailblaze. If you are watching the show Trailblaze and would like to sponsor my amazing endorsement of your product, but no, really, if you have a park near you with trees, it comes with tree protectors, so you're not going to hurt the trees. Mm-hmm. And it's small enough, you can put it in a backpack, take it with you places. So that's why it was a good choice for us, because we can take it back to New York City with us when we go back to New York City someday, and put it and play with it at the park there, but easily play with it in the backyard here. And the boys have loved it. They've loved it. Like the first thing that both of them did this morning after me and the boys camped in the tent last night in the woods. Super fun.
How'd it go?
It was great. It was great. Finn fell asleep right away.
Yes.
He was exhausted because of the slack line, let me just tell you. And then Leaf stayed up, and he had every once in a while, like we have deep thoughts with Leaf. Mm-hmm. So there were some deep thoughts moments.
What were the deep thoughts, so he can watch this in 10 years and know what they were?
Well, one of them was, he said to me out of the blue, I think that maybe I shouldn't have any screen time anymore. And I said, why is that? And he said, because Ryan is so, his older cousin, who's 2 years older than him, Ryan, who comes over to play sometimes, is so much better at all of these games than I am. He's beaten so many more games than me, and he has so many games that I don't have, and I'm just not as good. And so then we got to have that discussion about how it's about your personal journey. It's not about comparing yourself to Ryan. Also, Ryan has had 2 more years of playtime than you because he's 2 years older than you, and he's been playing since about the same age that you started playing. So, you know, you can't compare yourself. Comparison is the thief of joy, right? Isn't that a mm-hmm. saying that people throw around? I should have said that last night, but I was too tired. And anyways, it's a grown-up thing. But, you know, we had the conversation, and it was, you know, it was good. It was a good conversation. And then, you know, out of nowhere, he switched it to talking about Pokemon and how, you know, he really wants an Alakazam shiny. So something.
But he won't put in the work to get the things that he wants.
Well, we're working on that.
It's frustrating because
we're working on that.
He wants to be so competent and he wants to be the best and he wants to be known as for like people to know that he's awesome. But he won't put in the work. So and even today he said, yesterday I was like, hey, why don't you do this thing? And he's like, I'm just lazy, which is like okay.
It's tough because his parents are not lazy people. If anything, we work double hard because we have our own business and other jobs and helping them with school. Like right now is like the most we've. Like, oh my God, it's exhausting. But it's also different too, because we don't have internet at the house where we're living right now. So the only time that we have internet is when we're here at this studio space, which, by the way, great segue to say thank you to Springville Center for the Arts for allowing us to have this summer residency here in Springville. We've been doing some really fun stuff. If you haven't seen any of the Mystery Max Investigates videos, we've been releasing one of those every week. We just released one yesterday about the auction. And next week, what are we going to release next week?
The hospital.
Ooh, the hospital.
So this village of 5,000 people has its own hospital.
It's so
which
special.
Is like the hospital for like all the little small south towns in the region. Everybody comes here and they're building a new addition. And we got to talk to one of the women that works at the hospital about the hospital itself, who works there, the building, the helicopter. I mean,
there's a helipad.
All the cool things. Yeah, so I mean, it's been a really cool way for me to get to know different facets of the town that we never would have known, kind of like an insider's view. Mm-hmm. And then I just started editing today the dairy farm episode. So it'll be dairy farming with robots, which is awesome. And then the one after that is like we drove down the road to interview this very at first very standoffish, very like scowling, like you know, intense face, really awesome metalworking guy.
He's a welder.
Once he accepted us, like, can we interview with you with a puppet?
This is my idea. This is my idea because a couple of years ago we had found him, and I found him on a wild goose chase to get this metal grate created for a fire pit that you were digging at the time.
Yes.
And so I said, I'm going to get a metal grate made so that we can make food on the fire pit like you do at campsites. So I went around to all these places, and then finally somebody recommended that I check out this one place on this road I've never been on. I don't even live here. I don't know where anything is. I found this guy, and he looked at me like, you're crazy, but all right, I'll do it. And then I came back a few hours later, and like, there's my grate, and they welded it together.
The perfect size.
Oh, it was awesome. And so then I always remembered how nice they were, and I spoke their praises so much. And so when we were doing this Mystery Max Investigates series where we talk to different people in the community, I said, I really want to do that metalworking shop because those guys, what they're doing is so cool because not only are they welders, but they cut metal, they bend metal, and they have a plasma cutter to like cut metal out of metal. Like it is crazy, and there's computers involved, and it's like this like random garage shop on your way to the dairy farm. So
it's like you would never ever cross paths with it. It's in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, it's just like this kind of like big metal roofed dome thing. And you're like, do they fix cars? What is here? But it's actually a really amazing welding shop with run by this really talented guy named Richard. And so, you know, I'm sure Richard never in his life thought that he was going to give an interview to a detective puppet. But I...
just the looks. When we rolled up and he's just like...
Well, also we were wearing masks too, and yes, you know, there was a conversation about masks because he's basically working outside, so he doesn't feel like he needed to wear a mask, which is understandable because his shop has full air rotating. But we said, you know, we were just in New York City for like 3 months of hell basically, so we will wear our masks because we love you, and can we please interview you with this puppet?
Yes. And so they said yes
he said, and yes,
super nice,
super, and they nice.
Were And they were really into, you know, once we started going, once initially the first initial interview ended, then they were like, hey, well, do you want to see this? We're like, yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, well, yeah. What about this? Isn't that cool? And we're like, yeah. And then he started talking off camera about, like, the technical stuff. And we were like, and he even said it. He's like, I really had to think twice about dumbing down the language because I know all this technical stuff, but like saying something that kids would understand. We're like, wow, awesome, great, thank you.
And he really was talking too about, I don't know if he said it on camera, but just about how much math goes into the work that he does and how the precision, the level of precision is so important, and how you have to be really careful too, because a lot of this equipment is hydraulics. And so, I mean, you could lose a finger really easily. But everybody who works there is super cautious and super nice. And so we're so excited to share that with you. So that'll be in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks, I think.
I could talk about the shop all day. I mean, everything they did was impressive. And they're just like, boom, 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 you know, like bend, cut metal in half, and we're like, yeah, it's no big deal.
Oh, we have some messages from people. Alexandra from Boston says she's so proud of us. Thank you so much. And Vanessa, our friend V from Seattle, she says, I love these deep conversations with the kiddos. I know, right? Especially at night. And we love Mystery Max. Foster looks forward to ours each weekend. So the new episodes.
This last episode about the auction, we get to interview an auctioneer, but now like one of, because I think they hire more.
Sometimes they have two, but usually they just have Damon, one. And Damon is the person that we interviewed. So make sure if you didn't see that, it's on our Facebook page. Check it out. It dropped yesterday at 11 a.m. So every Saturday at 11 a.m. is when we premiere the new Mystery Max Investigates episode.
So we have like at least 2.5 more that are already shot. And then Tracy from the Center for the Arts is going to be scheduling with us more because they were such a hit and they're so fun and simple to do, and I'm shooting everything on my iPhone, you know, which is why a lot of the stuff from the hospital had to get cut, because the sound from one interview was just like, oh, this is bad. But we got it. It was the one that we got twice.
Oh, okay.
And it was okay. It made it very easy for me to cut, because it was just like, and it's gone. Goodbye. We'll just focus on, because it's only like a 3 to 5 minute piece.
Yeah, it's true.
So
I'm picking and choosing. Yeah.
So that's
nice. Well, good. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting. You're doing all those workshops with the kids. You just performed today in India.
Well, not in India. No, but I mean, I would like to someday again. I was thinking about our friends in Thailand right now, who Thailand, by the way.
Sawadika.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to hear anything about it on the news, because our news cycle is dominated by dumb things our current president is doing and the virus and stuff. But Thailand is kind of in the middle of its own revolution right now.
Oh, wow.
Because of a lot of things that have been happening for like the last few years. Oh, yeah. Look up, if you have a spare second, Google like what's been happening in Thailand for the last, since 2013 or 2014.
Okay.
And I had no idea when I was even there, because it's just like here. It's like if there's something happening politically, like people just have to still live their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So when I visited, you know, it was like we didn't ask that many questions. Now I have a lot of questions about it. But anyway, can't wait to go back someday. And today I was able to perform. It was 8:30 p.m.
In India,
when all these school kids for this online school watched the show. And because it was a show that was out of our social media bubble, I decided to do some things I would never normally do.
Tried some new things,
because you have to try things out in front of a real live audience. Even if you can't see them, you still get the feeling of like, is this working? Is this a good choice? So switch some characters up. Switched more characters up and tried like a different thing, and without saying what those were, because a couple of them I'm like, okay, this might be a permanent change. A couple of them were like, I don't know if this is culturally acceptable or not.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, I was like, okay, I'm glad that I was able to have the chance to not only just perform for them and entertain a bunch of people, like 1,000 people watched, but also to try some different things out, because I'm always about self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and when we... Back in March 16th, when we decided what we were going to do, did you even think, like, well, maybe we'll get to perform our shows in other countries? you know, like from our apartment and now from Springville.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one really cool thing about performing online is that anybody in the entire world could be watching. You mm-hmm. just don't know. And sometimes they let you know. Sometimes we've had people from different countries say where they're from.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really cool. We've had people from England watch and people from South America watch, and that's mm-hmm. been really awesome. And, you know, I mean, as much as we both miss a live audience, like, we love performing live. That is the best. But this has also been really interesting. And we've gotten to perform in states and in, now in countries for people that we never maybe would have been able to perform for. So that's been exciting.
Well, I mean, in their country, yeah. I mean, in New York City, it's like you get tourists. You get immigrants, yeah. So there's always different nationalities
of course,
watching
we,
public shows.
We perform for different cultures, but I'm yeah. saying, like, how often are we going to, like, travel to Northern California to do a show in an elementary school?
Yes.
Not that often. But, you know, we can get asked to do, like, a summer field trip mm-hmm. Online, and so that's been really cool.
Yeah, can I tell you, I have a fear, actually.
What's that?
And that's that I've gotten used to not performing for an audience at all.
Oh, you'll be fine.
At all, because I'm used yeah. to just performing alone. We're in a studio, so I don't have to deal with setting up or tearing down sometimes, but it's climate controlled, and I have two monitors going, typically, where I can see myself perform. So I'm not only seeing myself here, like focusing on two puppets here, but I'm also looking at monitors performing also. And sometimes I don't look at the puppets. I'm looking out there at the monitors because it's super helpful to perform in front of a mirror.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, is this working? No, actually. Or like, I'm trying this today. Oh, that actually looks better. I think I'm going to try and keep that. So in that way, it's been really nice.
It'll probably make your shows better. It'll definitely make your shows better, but you'll be fine. It's like, right. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm acknowledging. I hear what you're saying. And yes, of course, it'll be a little nerve-wracking the first couple of times, but then it's just going to feel like, you know, oh, yeah. And like an old glove or whatever they say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that phrase?
It's like an old glove.
I don't know. I think there's a phrase about a glove or something. My brain is just shot at this point.
No, I think you're right. I think it is like an old glove. You're like, wow, it fits.
Yeah, something. Anyway, any kind of questionable choice that I've made since March 1st, I'm just blaming on the pandemic,
there
and
you
that
go.
Is just the way it is.
See, you graduated from mommy brain to pandemic brain.
No, now that's where it is a combination of mommy pandemic brain. It's like even worse. Like if you're not a mom, you just have pandemic brain, and if you are a mom and somehow not on Earth right now, then you just have mommy brain. Yeah. But I have both.
Mommy brain, by the way, is when you first have a kid, and you forget something or make a mistake because you're so tired all the time, or mm-hmm. you have to deal with all this new stuff all the time. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah. One. Like a mistake that you would never normally like make. Like I left my keys outside of the apartment clipped onto the fence for days. Mommy brain.
Right, because you had to deal with a kid, like a little baby, and you had something else going on. And there's always like two or three things, and you just like forgot one thing and it turned out to be important.
Yeah mommy brain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'd like to take this moment just because I want to say it every podcast that mm-hmm. If you're having a hard time right now, that you should make sure to call somebody and talk to them, and that you matter, and that we acknowledge that while we're laughing right now and smiling and having a really great time talking to each other in this podcast, that this whole situation is not normal. Everything is difficult and rough on everybody in different ways, and everyone is experiencing stress in their own life and in their own journey of trying to get through this. But if you're feeling like you need to talk to somebody, please find somebody to talk to. If you want to reach out to us and just tell us, you know, what's going on, we will listen. We're very good listeners. If you need somebody to help you out in an even bigger way, there's so many different resources that you can find and reach out to talk to somebody at any moment. But you matter, and don't let the sadness get you down. And we're gonna get through this and come out the other side, and every one of us is going to be stronger for it. So I just want to say that every podcast, because we don't know what people are going through, but I do know that this can be really, really hard on everybody. And it's been hard on us too. And we're laughing a lot right now, but I just want to acknowledge it because it's important. And we have known people that have had the sadness get to them in our lives in different moments, not necessarily during this pandemic, although that has been happening for people, not anybody close to us yet. But please do not let that happen to you. And we love you and you matter. So that's my...
I think we've all been crazy stressed out about this pandemic. I mean, I definitely could feel my heart like going like this a few times because of things happening outside of my control.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's nice about being here also is that I'm not on the internet very much, so I'm not as plugged into the news. So my news intake is very, very limited. I do know what's going on, but even NPR, like I am so used to listening to NPR. As my dear friend Susan in Teaneck says, it's my wallpaper. Like, I'm like, yes, that is me too. If I move the radio in a certain place between the hours of 7 and 8 a.m., I can listen to NPR with a small amount of static. But my phone doesn't pick it up hardly, so I can't stream it. So I just don't have that same news intake. So that's actually been good for my mental well-being in some ways to be ignorant, but also at the same time, I'm still paying attention. I read the Times every day when I can hold my phone up and get the signal and stuff, or when we're here, I take a few minutes to look through and see how things are going. But and we don't know what's going to happen in the fall. The first week of August, the governor is supposed to kind of take a look at all the different districts of New York State and then decide based on the numbers and the data of what districts will be going back, and then that district will then decide based on that information what school will look like for them. And our kids go to a very small private school. They like the term micro school has come into play in the last few years, and our tiny little school fits into that definition. So hopefully our kids will be able to go back to school. Like, we're feeling better about that than we were before because New York's numbers have continued to stay low. But my one concern is that at the beginning of September, everybody's going to be back from summer break. And then there's going to be this like huge influx of people. Nobody's going to want to take the subway. Gridlock's going to be crazy. And how are we going to get from Astoria to Sunnyside every day, twice a day, to drop off, to pick up? And I mean, we'll take the car, but I think there needs to be like thought about like extra time.
Oh, I hadn't thought. I think it'll be fine on the cars. It'll be just like normal.
You think so?
Yeah, because who has a car in New York City? You know what I mean?
True, and there's still going to be a decent amount of people who are still going to continue to work from home, who aren't going to take the subway. I don't know. But it's all in flux, and we're going to figure it out. And I don't plan to make a final decision about whether we're going back or not until like at least mid-August. I'm just not sure.
So you may see a little bit more of us. we'll still be here.
Yes,
you know, no matter what. So you can bank on that. Although there are a couple of Sundays where we'll have to shuffle this podcast, the live recording, around a little bit because I think we're going to be performing.
The times.
Yeah, performing at 3 o'clock on Sundays, which is when we usually record. I'm going to be doing like a show exactly at that time.
That's great. That's a great problem to have.
Yeah, when a show comes along, no matter what, and it's like, oh man, it's right in the middle of the broadcast that I do for free, that it has to trump the free broadcast. You could just do that later or something.
Yeah. So we'll let you know if the time for the live filming changes that week. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, but thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, if you like this kind of content and you want to see more of it, make sure that you like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't done that yet, and like and follow our Facebook page so that you can stay in the loop of all of our cool stuff. This coming Monday, we'll have a People of Power new episode from...
It's People of Power about Ida B. Wells.
Ida B. Wells on Monday from Christina Rodriguez. She performs those, and she's one of our performing partners for Wonders of Our Puppets. So we are helping to distribute some of her personal work that she's been doing. Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. this week, I will be doing live building sessions. I am well on my way of making this Rapunzel hand puppet, and you can tune in and watch me making that. Wednesday, I'll be making a new DIY workshop puppet, to be determined of what that will be, but it'll be something awesome. And that'll be at 11 a.m. on Wednesday. Friday, 11 a.m., make sure you tune in. Our weekly live free show, and this week's show will be...
The Three Little Pigs.
The Three Little Pigs. So make sure you tune in to see the Three Little Pigs and their houses of hay, of sticks, and of bricks. And then Saturday we release another Mystery Max Investigates episode, and Sunday we're back here doing another puppet parent podcast episode.
Yes. This is more plugging that we've done on this podcast for our stuff than I think we've ever done.
I think I'm just proud of knowing our schedule by heart, and I just wanted to say it out loud. Sorry.
No, you can, it's all good. You can listen to us every single, all our back episodes are on puppetparentpodcast.com. If you want to just download the MP3s, if you want to check our RSS feed, or we're plugged into all the major MP3 players like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, et cetera, et cetera,
Overcast.
Et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't have the list in front of me right now, but they're all there. So wherever you get your MP3s, your podcast, check it out. Oh, but before we go, V says they're in the same, way out in Seattle, they're in the same boat with school. They're waiting to figure out what the preschool is going to do. And things aren't looking good for any kind of school. And that's, we're feeling that too. As it's like theater, because as safe as it might be, there's still the lurking danger. And because of what everybody's saying about the possible long-term lasting effects of this virus, there's just, and the kids can transmit it. I learned today that the only reason that they say that kids transmit the virus less is because they're shorter and they breathe out less air.
Oh my gosh.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason. It's because they're not breathing in your face. They're just breathing lower. And they're exhaling less because their lungs are smaller, but they're just as contagious as anybody else. They're saying that kids 10 and up are just as contagious as adults, and that's because they're tall.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Which makes me feel like, why would you send your kids to school if they could be contagious? They're going to kill everybody's grandparents when they get home from school.
Well, the thing that that will continue to freak me out, and then I feel okay, and then I don't feel okay, and I feel okay because it's a micro school. They're going to be these pods of 10. They're not going to introduce any new adults to that pod. But then the thing that makes me feel not okay is that, even though teachers are going to get tested and we're going to maybe get tested, we don't get those results for days at a time. And what happens in between the test and then the results? Like, maybe you get infected then what, you need a whole other test? And then the other thing is the incubation period, where you might be spreading the disease and have no clue that you're sick for up to 2 weeks. So that is the thing that messes with my head and freaks me out and makes me just want to turn tail and go back to our, little hole here in Springville. And it's not a hole. It's an amazing situation, actually.
It's a burrow. We're in a little burrow. We've dug a little burrow. We're going to stay in our safe space for the little bunny ears.
With our slack line and our tent.
That's
in the
right.
backyard.
You see a little white cottontail go boop, 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 off to the burrow.
And my vegetable garden.
Yes.
I got a zucchini, guys. Zucchini.
You need to bring it in. Her zucchini is so big, you guys. It's huge. This is a fisherman's.
Things I never
zucchini.
Thought I'd be able to say. Check out my zucchini. Right. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye.